It's Thursday. Nothing in particular going on. Nothing in particular to talk about.
No news. I hope we can come up with something.
Yeah.
There's been like no questions. You guys gotta send in some questions.
Yeah, man. Like,
we experienced a tragedy, man, at the office.
We did.
We experienced life imitating art.
People got pissed off that they couldn't throw bricks at me in the game. So I'm sure some fine, upstanding young man in this neighborhood. Maybe he had a stroke or something. It couldn't have just been some douchebag criminal. had to be somebody. You know, maybe they got hit on the head and started doing things completely out of character.
It could have been a brain tumor who was trying to juggle bricks in the back alley.
That's true.
And had a seizure.
Trying to juggle them as hard as he could.
Yeah, somebody accidentally threw a brick through the goddamn back French door of the office.
The double pane,
the entirety of Scully's office was filled with diamonds.
We did not consider that perhaps it was a statement against the French.
That's true.
They
heard us refer to it as something other than a freedom door.
A freedom door. I hadn't thought of that.
Anyway, this neighborhood kind of sucks balls.
Walking down the street in front of our house, it looks like a nice neighborhood because the people have got nice yards. There's a guy with like four really nice rose bushes a couple houses down, but the fact that the back of this street opens onto that crappy alley and apartment complex.
Yeah.
We're like a nice neighborhood right on the border of a shitty neighborhood.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, and even if you look at the street, like if you go east from here, it's like a lot of nice houses with a lot of nice families living in them, and then if you go west, it's a bunch of like single occupancy apartments with, you know, cars on blocks and just the whole
And of course,
we're loitering.
There's our neighbor with his livestock collection.
Okay,
the rooster.
That's the thing. People will say, "Oh man, there goes the neighborhood because there's Mexicans and they got chickens running around."
I don't
in
care
their
about
yards. But
if it was
yeah,
a
I know,
plain
but,
old.
But you
chicken?
Know what? I would rather have. Yeah, I would rather have some Mexicans with that rooster than like you know the alley population all around.
Well,
us.
Who cares whether they have roosters?
Yeah,
or not?
I don't.
It's the crowing.
Yeah, the
crowing.
It
if it was
crowing,
a plain old chicken, I wouldn't give a rat's ass. Except for, you know, bird flu.
Right. I don't think bird flu comes... I wonder if they're raising it for a cockfight. I hear the Hispanics like that kind of thing.
Maybe. I think there's another one down the street somewhere, too.
Because, I would like to find out where... Like, I would not mind seeing a cockfight. Like, I think I would
just...
Somebody knocking on the door.
Yeah, I would imagine there are... I think my wife was coming to listen to the show, and I think that the pretentious artist is coming to replace our nice door with a goddamn piece of fucking plywood that we have to replace our... Man, that had to have been the single most expensive thing you could see from the alley. Because we moved in here. There was a shitty door. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna upgrade this office. We deserve to have a nice door. And what do these goddamn heathens do? Anyway, it is the pretentious artist with some wood, and it is my wife.
Not the same person.
Not the same person at all. So anyway, yeah, that happened to us at last night. Anyway, so there's going to be some noise as this door gets repaired, but that's okay. It'll protect Riff from the boogeymen.
That's right.
And what else do we do? We posted an announcement that people are busily being as wrong as possible about in the forums. What's your impression of the conjecturisms?
It's interesting to see what people are saying. I mean, some people are assuming things about the way things have been, like that they sort of were intentional design decisions, and it's interesting to see what people just sort of when you create a game, you know, there are a bunch of you make something and you make a structure and people interact with it in a particular way, and sometimes the ways that people do things are unintended, or the effects of what they do are unintended, and it's kind of really interesting to see what people assume, people assume why we did what we did, in particularly, like, ascension rewards and stuff like that.
Yeah. Everybody's assuming that there won't be consumption requirements on the ascension rewards.
Well, there's two schools of thought. There's the people who say, no, clearly they won't be usable for until day three or something. And there are people... I mean, someone got it right on the head, which is that, you know, what having level requirements on food does is it actually requires you to strategize food consumption.
Yeah, I saw that post. It was like, you know, now it's like, okay, well, do I eat this and hope that I get enough adventures to level and eat this, or hope that I get enough stats to level and eat this, or, you know, do I... And you know, I think that in testing, people are finding that there is only one person on the dev team who is still just stridently against the level requirements. And the thing is, they basically only affect day one.
Yeah.
So far. You know, because the level requirements are incredibly low. Yeah, you're gonna think of them. You know, you take all the food in the game. The level requirements are not on a continuum between level 1 and level, you know, 13
right,
or
yeah.
15. They are
the very highest food is 8 or 9.
It requires level 8 or level 9. Yeah, and so it's not nearly as big a deal as you think. Almost all of the slowdowns were just aimed straight at day 1, and they're working.
And
people think we need some more slowdowns.
The other thing that people are saying is they're worried that it's just going to make day one unfun. But
day one is also the last day of your previous run,
which is
a lot of work. I mean, people were sort of...
This makes sense.
and like we said, the important thing to remember is the dev team... They're dudes like you. If you're pissed off about this, it is likely because you are a person who cares very deeply about your style of playing the game, and you are represented on the team. And they, you know, we would be meaner to you than we are going to be if it was left up to us, because, you know, we would probably be too harsh with the things that we decided to change, you know, because we tend to. I mean, what's weird is I won't make, like, community policy decisions based on something that happened that day in chat, you know, and I sort of hate the, like, sort of knee-jerk reactionary legislation, but that is kind of the way I approach game balance, and I think it's a bad deal in that regard, but, yeah. Oh, let's see.
Some things are still definitely not set in stone. I mean, we're definitely still... The goal of the next 31, 32 days is to try to get the dev team to run through the game as many times as possible and see what areas are sort of not fun or boring or whatever, and make sure that they're interesting, that there's stuff to do, that there's challenges, and that there's, like, new strategies you have to explore. I mean, there's going to be a lot more... How do you explain it? There's a lot more things to strategize about in NS13. There's a lot more things to strategize. And a lot of things I think people won't figure out or won't know about for the first month or two of
playing. In the last couple of levels, you mean?
Throughout the whole course of the game.
I guess it does. We sort of did try to introduce a lot of things that you can elect to prepare for if you want to, and yeah.
There's going to be a ton of stuff going on.
There are mechanical elements of the game. There are things that you can adjust via equipment and skills and buffs that may not be at all important to the speed game now,
right,
but will become important to the speed game, that will cause you to, you know, kind of rethink what kind of things you're going after over the course of the run. Certainly,
or craft different gear than you might have otherwise.
You will certainly pull different things than you ever would have under current circumstances. It's fun. Amish Rebel says, when you say that you won't keep a full weight familiar through the gash, do you mean they will all reset to 1 pound? Do we mean that they will all reset to 1 pound?
Well, currently all but one do.
Right. What will probably happen is that all of your familiars will reset to 19 pounds, regardless of what their weight was before you ascended.
The current incarnation is that, yes, all of your familiars reset to 1 pound. Yeah. So
there are also, and this was actually something that we didn't touch on, there are some changes to the formulas for the base post-combat familiars that are, again, not entirely set in stone, but basically, I expected people to be really pissed off about this when I rolled it out on dev, and they weren't, and I think it's because they're just really not that big a deal. Things like, I mean, basically anything that is a volleyball, anything that is a fairy, anything that is a leprechaun is going to be more powerful than it is now below, like, 25 pounds, and less powerful, and gradually less and less powerful as you add pounds above 25 pounds. So what that basically does
is... Instead of being a straight line.
Most of the combat familiars are still scale totally linearly, right? The way that they always did, which makes the combat familiars more powerful relative to, you know... Because basically nobody uses anything that's not a volleyball, right? And...
Well, I mean, or a sombrero.
Yeah, and that's probably not going to change. People will still be like that, but...
Yes,
but
no, there's a lot of discussion about it. And that's the thing, is like people in the dev team are having lively discussions about what familiars you want to take now, because it's... I mean, it's dynamic and interesting, because it's unclear what the right thing to do
that's
is.
That's true. I mean, with the stasis nuke, it's no longer just, a gimme that you're going to use your shaman, you know? That's something you're going to use maybe after one turn of starfishing, you know? You'll starfish to the point where you can use a shaman for 10 rounds or whatever if you know.
Well, and people, people are saying that the dandelion is really powerful.
Right.
It's the MP and the items. Item drops become kind of a big deal.
And also, you know, it allows us to have some, you know, we can make awesome familiars of the month in the future, like anything that restores MP is going to be worth it for people because, you know, the sort of stasis MP faucets turned off. There are a lot of really powerful MP restoratives being introduced in the level 11 and 12 content, and there will be some rebalancing of the kind of things that are available to you in the lower end content too. I mean, that, you know, there's nobody has yet said that, you know, the game isn't fun. People are excited. You know, it's interesting to see the dev people say, oh, wow, man, I totally forgot about this, like, minor quest at the low levels because it didn't seem like a big deal. It wasn't at all important before, but now it makes a difference in your runs. You know, like, people...
The rewards are really
handy.
Yeah,
people are getting excited about the lower-end content that's been there for a long time and didn't used to figure into anything, but now it does. And so, you know, that's good. T. Sarducci says, how long after the stasis nerf do you think it will be before a new strategy you hate is invented? My bet is 2 weeks. Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, how long did it take for stasis to... Because I remember the sort of discovery of LT synergy, right?
Yeah.
I remember that post about, like, hey, check out this awesome new strategy that I discovered.
I think it was Bashy that coined
stasis
phrase.
The thing was, stasis was fell very shortly after us. We changed the Sauspheres, which was post Ascension.
Was it?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I did not. I don't remember what the timetable was for that. We didn't change the Sauspheres with Ascension.
I don't recall.
We did, like, last year. We did all the skills to 15.
Yeah.
That wasn't when we did it though.
I don't remember, actually, now. But, I mean, it wasn't too long after people started using them that we had the MP regeneration.
Yeah.
So.
That's another thing. There are a lot more sources of MP regen with MS-13 than there used to be. So, you know, there are items in the level 12 stuff that might be worth a pull just for their MP regeneration. I mean, that would be ideal to me if there was that sort of strategic choice. May never happen. Yeah. But, yeah.
It's gonna be really interesting. And, you know, we don't hate stasis. We hate that people think it's boring and necessary.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what's frustrating to us, is that we've created a situation where that our players who want to do well find themselves in a place where they have to do something that they kind of don't really like. You know, it's because they love the game so much that they want to keep playing it, but to be competitive, they have to do this, like, really kind of boring and slow process. And so if we can make the game more interesting by eliminating that, then we kind of win, right? Because they'll be happier, we'll like the game more, you know? So, I don't know, if you can find more strategies that are really boring for you to do and provide a significant game advantage, then I'm sure we'll probably hate that too.
People are going to fall back on, you know, like they're saying, okay, like, does MS-13... I forget who asked. Somebody asked if MS-13 spells the end of NPZRing in the knob shaft. And, you know, while I don't like that practice as a meat farming practice, I don't mind it being... You know, if it was something that you did one out of every 30 fights, then I think that I would be okay with that. If it's something that makes sense for you to do to farm meat, you know, 400 turns a day with Mafia, then no, you know. But, you know, I don't mind starfishing the way that I mind stasis, because starfishing is a trade-off, right? It's this pretty much the same deal, right? It's converting the monster's hit points into MP.
Right.
You know, but it's doing that at the expense of you getting any stats at the end of combat.
Or
it's not something
any
that,
bonus. Yeah.
It's not something that you can do every single turn that you're playing, and it, you know, it shouldn't be. And, you know, so we'll see. If you know, people will find stuff that is annoying. They will find the new boring optimal thing. And, you know, somebody finds the new boring optimal thing after NS13, the game is still in flux enough. People are not set enough in their ways that there's just going to be this outrage if we're just like, oh, shit, didn't think of that. Nerf that.
Or change it.
Change it.
Nerfing is a
but,
weird
but word. Nerf it, but the thing is, we don't tend... We tend to nerf stuff by throwing content at it.
Which is why I don't like the word nerf.
Right.
That's why I put it in quotes in that whole explanation post, because...
Well,
A nerf would be to like say, oh, you're right. This weapon is clearly too powerful, and just reduce the stats.
Yeah, but
that is a nerf.
80 turns to 40 turns. That is a nerf.
Is it a nerf?
Keeping familiar weight versus not keeping familiar weight. That is definitely a nerf.
Yep. I gotta agree with
it
that.
It is a decision to make things less powerful.
Okay.
There is a distinct
in the context of a larger good.
It is. Yeah. No, certainly. But all nerfs are in the context of a larger good.
Okay.
You know, I mean, people, I think, you know, game designers are not just pricks. You know, I mean, you don't see. Yeah.
What's that game where you have to? There's like 10,000 levels and. One of those, or you have to drive for 8 hours.
Desert bus. The Penn and Teller game. Yeah.
Or that one that Beat Takahashi made, that Famicom game.
I don't remember it.
It was the Nintendo game written by a guy who hates video gamers, and so it had stuff in it like the final boss. You had to hit him like 20,000 times to kill him, and it had jumping areas where you had to hit it pixel perfect to get across, and just all the cruelest, ridiculous stuff he could come up with.
We watched some Mario.
Oh yeah, that Super Mario Brothers video. I think we talked about it on the radio before. Actually, I don't remember the. I found it in YouTube by just searching for like Super Mario Brothers mod. Riff had posted the link. We should post that somewhere.
I don't still have it, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean it was I think I had it in a PM from you that was still on my screen when I was watching it that day. So
funny.
Anyway, so right, every nerf that we do is in the context of the greater good. But I'm not when I talk about
except the short
nerfing something by throwing content at it. I mean, the Shorebots thing. That was.
You said Shorebots.
Fuck you guys. there is a crucial difference in my mind between, 80 turns to 40 turns after ascending, and the entangling noodles change. The entangling noodles change introduced a new mechanic that, and this is just. All I am hearing is, man, the new entangling noodles makes it nice. To play as a Postomancer, vanilla, and I told you guys that's what it was doing, and it was as a corollary, as a bonus, it nerfed stasis, and that was the rationale for changing it in the first place. But we changed it into something better, into something cooler, into something that was more content, into something that was more interesting, into something that the average player is going to like more than they liked it before, while eliminating the edge case use of it that we didn't like. And that's how we roll. That is how we roll. Type Login says, you announced there's going to be at least 20 new trophies in 32 days. What about current trophies? Are we going to lose any? If you can't tell me which ones, at least tell me how many, please. The point, I have a feeling that Slice and Dice is going to become a lot more difficult to get, because I have a feeling that Slice and Dice is going to be something that you get for having a 100% stab bat run rather than taking a stab bat with you at 100% for 20 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah. So, something that is at least... Well, no, I was going to say something that is at least 20% stab bat, but we can't do that. We don't actually have the breakdown. All we have is the majority one. Yeah. So the only way you could do a 20% stab bat run is if you did like 20% of your turns with a stab bat, and then like 15 with a lime, and 15 with a leprechaun, and Moody says 20 new trophies. Why do you hate me so? You don't know the half of it. Yeah.
Get this. Jake is always like, oh, hot stuff, that's just too mean. You can't do that. And I'm like, trust me. People will love to hate this one, and yeah, it's gonna be great.
Think about it. You know, the consumption when the hippie.
Yep.
Hippie one. That is brutal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the one that I was saying was too brutal today won't take that long.
Yeah. Exactly.
So. Yeah. It's so cool too, and it's gonna be so satisfying to
the
person.
Is this one you've newly thought of?
No, this was
not
the
xenophobe.
This was the
xenophobe.
This one.
Oh right, right.
So that's like somebody will see it and somebody will think, oh man, I know that there is a trophy for this, and they will spend spend a month doing it, and they will feel so fucking great about themselves for having discovered that by just knowing us. By knowing our world. It probably won't even take a month.
Yeah, probably not.
But yeah. Yeah. When we say 20 new trophies, we've decided what maybe 15 of them are going to be, and we're confident that we will be able to come up with the five additional ones. So then there will be 27.
And there's some...
There will be 27 undiscovered trophies.
There are some that's going to be in the old content. That we've there's stuff that we've been tracking for a while that we just haven't put the trophy in yet because we didn't want it to be obvious what it was going to be about.
Right.
So that'll be fun to see.
Yep. And Typlogin. Yeah. So to answer your question, Typlogin, no, I don't think that we are making any trophies impossible to get. The only thing that's going to have to change is StatBat.
And I guess because of the way that the ascension process has changed slightly, that might be problematic. But
yeah, I mean, we'll have to go and code it, you know.
Yeah.
Right? But we will be. I mean, it's not like we're not aware of it. Rickett says, I know you guys want to make this game harder, but seriously, that one and the Zero Weight Familiar is going to make it really suck at early levels for everyone. I just don't think that that's true. I think if you ask the dev team right now, does the game really suck at early levels? They would say no. Yeah. They would say there is a lot more there than you remember there being because you're only paying attention to what you would play through
you
totally
skip
optimally.
So much
you
stuff.
Skip so much stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, you know, we were talking about this the other day. Our update practice. Whenever we add content, we don't think, okay, what are we going to add to the high levels to retain retention, to keep on keeping on. we're not thinking about it like, you know, EverQuest would or like, you know, World of Warcraft did, where it's like, all right, what are we adding at the high end to keep people going who are already stuck at the high end?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, especially post-Ascension, because the game consists of low and high end, low and high end, low and high end for the people who are really playing, we add content wherever we have cool ideas for content, you know? The new quests that went into all the level one zones, you're not doing those now, but maybe you will. Maybe you will be excited about the opportunities that you have to strategize, oh man, how am I going to most efficiently get Claude his birthday cake? Because maybe, just maybe, the rewards that you get for those are going to be really valuable to you at the lower levels. You know, we have always paid attention to early game content, and we will continue to pay attention to early game content, just like we've been paying attention to early game content during the entirety of the testing up to this point.
Yeah.
You know, the big nerfs have been in testing for a long time already. We've had a lot of time with people telling us, like, oh, God, this sucks. I just had to spend, you know, 60 turns in this zone. Well, let's put some interesting stuff in that zone.
Yeah.
You know, put some stuff in there. Put some stuff in some other zones that'll cut that number down a little bit. You know, like, we want there to be variety in play. And so we are constantly at odds with the people who want there to be, you know, efficiency in play, because efficiency has this sort of anti-variety serum that it carries around.
I mean, and the interesting thing is that there's a balance, right? There's, like, finding your way through the game in an optimal path ends up being a challenge and ends up being sort of more... I don't know, circuitous, right? Because now you have this thing, and now you can do something else with it, and stuff. There are a lot of there are a lot of things to do in S13. Like it's not just as simple as finish all the council quests ASAP and get to level 13 and ascend, because there's you're gonna have some interesting choices.
El Pato says, if you need to ascend to start NS13, what will happen to those players who are currently at extremely high levels and don't want to ascend? You don't need to ascend to start NS13.
The way it's going to work, I think, is that, I mean, in terms of, like, leaderboard stuff, the way that it will probably work is that we're gonna roll out NS13 at a rollover on a Sunday, I think. And we're going to sort of post a... in some building in town, or in, you know, somewhere the museum probably will have sort of an archive of the leaderboards sort of up to that point, right? The best sort of runs of all time, and sort of what the leaderboards looked like at NS13 or whatever maybe, and then we're gonna sort of restart the leaderboards, but only on runs that start.
Yeah, we're going to do the thing where the roll on the leaderboards goes up one day at a time as it goes past the a little more complicated than that. But
so if you're in the middle of a run, the way, and this has been explained before, I think, if you're in the middle of a run, if you haven't already unlocked the Sorcerer's Quest, you're going to have to get to level 13 to unlock it.
Right.
If you have unlocked the Sorcerer's Quest and are in the middle of it, you'll probably be reset to the beginning of it.
Because the Sorcerer's Quest is also changing. I mean, that's included in the content additions to existing quests.
Right.
A lot of that is, to be honest, not done yet, but it is going to be done over the course of testing. We definitely know what we're doing with a lot of stuff in the Sorcerer's Lair. So my one question is, what about people who have already freed the king? Do they get reset to the bottom of the tower?
No, I don't think so.
Because people are gonna sit there in that state, and then what happens if they go back to the council? The way it's coded now, they will probably get level 11 and 12 quests.
I think, and that's fine, honestly, I think. I think what we'll tell people is if you want to have the best chance of getting on the early leaderboards, you should position yourself such that you have free the king and wait there a day or so before we roll out NS13, and then ascend
right after we roll it out.
And then you'll be sort of competitive with everybody else. But maybe everybody's going to be experiencing level 11 and 12 council quests for the first time, and they're complicated.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting.
I mean, if you want to see the content as fast as possible, then you level up to 10.
Yeah.
Level up to 11 and then just sit there.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to jump right in. And that's sort of it. But I mean, El Pato's question was more about, like, what about people who have already beaten the game and are sitting at high levels because they don't want to ascend? They will get to play through level 11 or 12.
Yeah.
We will make sure that they get to play through 11 or 12.
They probably will not get to see the new Sorcerer's Quest content.
Yeah.
If they've already beaten the Sorcerer's.
Yeah. We'll have to figure out how that's going to work.
And they won't be able to see.
But I mean, the Sorcerer's Quest is probably getting
zones, but they never saw any of that anyway.
Yeah. The Sorcerer's Quest is probably getting the least attention of any. Maybe not. I guess not. It's getting the least fundamental structural changing of any quest, except the ones that aren't changing at all.
Right.
The larva quest, I think, is going to be pretty much the same as it ever was.
Yes.
But yeah, everything else, there have been some just total changes to the way that it works.
Yeah.
Which are going to be real stumbling. I mean, there are going to be things that are, like, somebody playing through for the first time is going to be like, oh, this is a cool quest. But people who are familiar with it are going to be like, oh, wow, that's a stumbling block that I've never had to deal with before. And it's going to be fun.
It's 800 goat cheeses now, by the way.
Yeah. That's the thing with the traps are 800 goat. And goat cheese is not a quest item.
And the drop rate's been reduced to 1%.
Yep. Hot Stuff and I had a discussion about quest drop rates and stuff while we were doing a particularly terrible quest in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
What do you figure? We spent
It's been probably an hour and a half.
Just killing the same monsters over and over again for one quest because the drop rates were so low.
And because there were two of us trying to complete it at the same time, and it was an item drop quest, we had to do it.
Takes twice as long, yeah.
Yeah.
And we were saying to ourselves, why are we doing this? Why are we willing to do this? We leveled up a lot. We talked about potential item drop mechanics for KOL while we were...
And that was the thing. Like we were playing World of Warcraft, and we were like, you know, there is nothing in the game which allows you to impact your item drop percentages.
Yeah.
Except for spending more time and just...
Right.
Throwing more time at the situation.
Yeah.
And
you know, the inspiration for our plus item drops was a Blizzard game, right? I mean...
Yeah. Because Diablo has
that, right? Although I don't know that
because they backed the fuck away from that, in World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
because everything
it became the only valuable enchantment on anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which is weird because you know. Why do you want these? Do you want these magic? I want magic items with plus magic item drop on them. You know, like okay. Like that, you know, if you no longer care about any enchantment other than this one, maxing it out seems to be like just.
Redundant.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Snorting more coke so you can do more work, so you can make more money, so you can buy more coke.
Exactly.
But it. Yeah. I mean. But still, I wish it wasn't like that, because I enjoyed, like, I've got one thing that's, like, plus magic item drops or whatever, and I'm like, that's probably never going to do anything to me, but it's...
I remember, the there was some sword or something that had 6 rune slots in it, and there was that one rune that was, like, the plus 5% item drops or something, which was way high up in the tree, and I got one of them, and I was like... All right, now I just need 5 more of those runes.
Which means if you can Heradric cube them by only needing 250 million of the tiny ones.
The thing that bugs me about that in Diablo 2, the thing that bothered me about that was...
The Heradric cube stuff?
The rune stuff. Okay. I never did anything interesting with runes.
Yeah.
I played them to bump them up? No, it's just that I didn't play enough to even acquire enough to... But, like, I played... I mean, you know, I did not play Diablo 2 a lot, comparatively. I got a character up to 70, and then I got another character... I may have actually gotten Crack Rocks to 99. I think I just to do it, I think I actually leveled...
I don't know if I ever got anybody to 99.
Yeah, me.
That's really hard.
Maybe I didn't. Maybe I just remember that I did, but I didn't. I mean, I don't know. You know, but I never, ever got an interesting rune. I never, ever ended up with... the right runes in combination to make anything other than like, this would be a fantastic item if I was a level 12 druid, you know, instead of a level 90 barbarian, which you get to level 90 and you're finding the stuff that, you know, the entire lifetime of my character has been long enough to farm enough of these items to make one really cool item for somebody who is 2 hours into the game. And that sucks. I understand that it, like, gives somebody something long-term to shoot for, but things that are that important and, gameplay elements that are that cool that rely on a, you know, 0.001% drop rate, thinking about runes in Diablo 2, it's not like, cool feature, it's fuck you guys. That's how I feel about the runes. The gems were cool. I liked the gems because, like, you know what? I found enough gems to make a bunch of perfect gems. And then, like, my assassin, for the bulk of her character lifespan, she had fist weapons that were socketed with perfect emeralds. And that was before the patch where they fixed whatever bugs there were with poison, right? So, because, like, if you had 1 3 poison gem and then you put in another 3 poison gem, it would be 9 poison instead of 6, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that was what I played with. And I was like, you know, that's cool. Those gems are easy enough to find. Like, a lot of the times you just get one from a shrine. Right. You know, you're guaranteed to get one. You're guaranteed to get a bunch of half. But, like, that was cool. That was a meaningful accomplishment to me as a casual player. And the runes were just sort of...
See, and I think, like, so with the Burning Crusade, with World of Warcraft, with the expansion, they came out with a bunch of crafted items, which are currently on par with or are the best items for, you know, like 5 or 6, you know, of your equipment slots. And they're really hard to get, but they are still within the reach of a dedicated sort of player, right? You can either spend a lot of gold to just buy all the materials, or you can, like, spend some time and make them.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like that's a pretty difficult compromise to have accomplished, but they did it.
Right. But at the same time, the really high end stuff, you know, like
well, I mean the stuff that drops in the raid.
Nah, well, okay. I mean, I guess back before Burning Crusade, like stuff that you could only get, like stuff that you could only make out of leather that you got from monsters that required 40 people to kill.
Right.
You know, like
the core.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
just kind of obnoxious.
The fact that like they moved from a model where every drop was just a random thing and you had to be there and be lucky that your particular item dropped to a closer to a model where a particular token would drop, and that'd be good for like 3 or 4 classes at a time.
Yeah. In case you're not familiar with the raid game in World of Warcraft, what used to happen,
and still does in the lower level progression stuff.
Oh, server's down.
Are we not?
We're not. We have, I don't know how long we've been.
Well, that sucks. That's weird.